I took the flight from Charlotte to Frankfurt. Then had instructions how to get on the train to Hamburg. First one train from the airport to the central station in Frankfurt, and then go to another train and go to Hamburg, which was about 4 and 4.5 hours away. Train to the Trent Central Station, Frankfurt, was 10 minutes delayed. And that was the first time I said, what? Germany? Delayed trains? What? Then I was in, the train, I had the 10 minutes in Frankfurt to go from one train to another. This one was 10 minutes delayed. So I'm saying, I'm going to miss the train. Is there another one? Talking to the person who organized this thing, who is in Düsseldorf. And thank him for organizing everything. All the people in all the cities, they were marvelous. He was with me on Viber and said, you know, there's another train right after that, maybe in an hour, you'll still make it to Hamburg. But the other train is also delayed 17 minutes, so you have 7 minutes, you'll make it. So I did make it, and luckily I had a seat, sat down, it was fine, went to Düsseldorf to Hamburg. The lady who is head of the organizing committee waited for me at the airport, and Hamburg was beautiful. They put me in a beautiful hotel. So when I said put me, okay, so that people don't get a wrong impression. Usually Platform for Progress does not pay for these things. It was my money going for the ticket, airfare to go there, for hotels. Normally we expect them to cover those things, but I guess it was expensive. They did take care of the train rides. And I go to, they take me to the hotel, beautiful, gorgeous hotel on the coast. Not on the coast, in Hamburg, but overlooking the sea. And then they tell me, they put me in a suite because there's a Bosnian lady who works in the hotel and pulled some strings. So I got into the suite that was, I think the price was like 138 euros, whatever, plus taxes. But they tell me it was like 600-700 euros suite. It was beautiful, gorgeous, and I was in heaven. And inside, the lady, the head of the organizing committee, has three jobs, one of them in some French bakery, and she brought a lot of goodies into the room. It was perfect. Then later on, I found out that when in Frankfurt, Adolf Hitler only wanted to be in that hotel. So
I don't know if that's a good thing.
No, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But then that was an impression. That was an explanation that why that was the best hotel. People who are at least had all the power at that time wanted just there to be there. That night, we go to the venue where the town hall meeting took place. I found out it was in the bank, in the branch of the bank. And I originally it was supposed to be somewhere else, nice room, larger. But they think for some political reasons, it was given the owner of the place, we were prevented from actually doing it. Don't know exactly the story, but there were issues in confirming and delaying confirmation, even after it was paid, from what I was told. Then a friend, again from Yugoslavia, old Yugoslavia, who know these people from Bosnia, allow them to go into this branch of the bank. And I've never done that. You know, you really walk into the branch of the bank. They put some chairs there in the hall, right? Huge windows, so people are passing by as you are conducting the town hall meeting. Very unusual, but it was beautiful. They had a rich cultural program. the guy playing accordion, writers reciting their poems, poets, opera singer. Really nice words about me, and then it was full house, like 70, 80 people, I think. And very nicely done. Beautiful. Good questions, good energy, excitement. Then after that, we go to bar, restaurant, small cafe, bar, restaurant, that whose owner is as a Bosnian person. There was about 15, 20 of us, beautifully relaxing, a lot of discussions about Platform for Progress, life in Germany, Bosnia, Herzegovina. And then around 1 o'clock, I said, I need to go because I have to catch another train. And I go, they take me, we walk to the hotel, cold, 1:15 a.m. I thought they were going home because at 9 a.m. we said, I'm going to come down and that lady would have breakfast with me and then will take me to the train, which is 11 o'clock, train for Düsseldorf with one stop. I would have to change trains in Hanover, I believe. And that morning I'm 15 minutes late because for the to show up for the breakfast. And she tells me, well, you're late, and I went to bed at 3:30. Why did you go to bed at 3:30? You left when you took me to the hotel with the other guy, you left one something. She said, we went back to the restaurant, to the bar, because we couldn't wait for tomorrow to work on the agenda for Platform for Progress in Hamburg. And I was really pleased, but that means that she didn't sleep, came on time in the hotel, and I was late from the first floor down. God. But I just wanted to sleep a little bit longer because I went to bed 2 or 3:30 because you come home and then you cannot sleep then, and then you emails and Viber and all this stuff. Anyway, I got a nice lunch, talked about activities in Hamburg, and we go to the train station. She goes with me just to make sure I'm just fine. She's worried by the fact that I don't have a shawl, and over there everybody has a shawl of some sort because it's cold. And then we go to the station, we go to the track. It says in 2 minutes the train is arriving on time, 11:01. This is 10:57, 8, whatever. Across comes the red tape or something, ticker text. German, of course. And I said, what is that? She said, well, the train is not coming. So wait a second. This is 3, 2, 3, 4 minutes before it shows up. Surely they had known about it before. Maybe it was an accident. You never know. Something, okay. What now? Everybody, the whole platform, go to the main, the central building, ticketing office. You take your ticket, get your time, get your place, you go there, and confusion, and finally you get somebody who basically, just on the piece of paper, writes, same ticket, right? They write different train, different timing of the train. Of course, that means you lost your seat, probably reserved, first class, whatever. So I'm going to the train arrives, 30 minutes later, a different train, go there, you run to go there, and you find a seat, oh, great, and somebody says, I'm sorry, that's my seat. Okay, you get up, get another seat, I'm sorry, that's my seat. And in the end, I was sitting on the floor. The picture. I sat on the floor. Not a big deal, except that when you're on the floor, you're on the floor. You're not part of the group. And the waiter and waitress who would come by to offer drinks didn't even look at me. They only looked at people in the seats. And I'm looking, I'm here. No, they just passed by. And I didn't speak English, so I was just saying, okay. Not the conductor, the ones who checked the tickets. He noticed me and checked my tickets. The rest of them, no. I was non-existent. Amazing. When you're in the bottom, you're in the bottom. Nobody notices you. Of course, that meant that the original train, even from Hanover to Düsseldorf, was not the original train, but the new train. Of course, for the new train, I also didn't have a seat. Fine. Except that that train also was 20-some minutes delayed, that fourth train. And then they changed the track at which they arrived. So I had to learn how to read all of that stuff. And luckily, when you see commotion, you look up and see what the commotion is. Oh, they changed the gate, basically. They call it a track. And then you get on the train, but on the train, there's also, when you're arriving, going to the train, also on the terminal, it's another ticker text in German. So I asked people who are running, so what does this mean? What does this mean? What does it mean? Oh, you have to get sit in the right car on the train because they're going to split it and some mid-station, and only part will go to Düsseldorf, the other part will end up in Munich. Oh, really? How do I know I'm in the right car? You'll just ask inside. Okay, so I asked one person 15 times, you sure this train, this car is going to Düsseldorf? Yeah, man, relax. Eventually there was a seat, so I took the seat down. Going to, I'm in Düsseldorf now, texting with the guy who organized the whole visit, who is supposed to wait for me at the station, and he says, sorry, I'm in the court. He's a translator, court translator. I cannot make it in time. Can you take the taxi and go to the hotel? I'll find you there. Sure. Give me the address. He sends me the address. I have no money except that I have 10 euros and 50 pfennigs, whatever it is. Cents, 50 cents. I used to have 15. Somebody gave me in Bosnia, they didn't have 30 KMs. They gave me 15 euros. So I took them with me to Germany. 450 I used for ibuprofen. I needed it. I was left with 1050. Go to the taxi and said, do you take credit cards? He said, yes. Well, we go there to the hotel. It's 1060. I said, I have 1050 cash. Is that fine? Or you want a credit card? Give me 1050. So I was out of money at that point. I walk into the hotel, I register, the guy knocks on my shoulder, and I knew that somebody was waiting for me from Deutsche Welle, wanting to have an interview with me. So I just checked in, didn't go to the room, leave my stuff on the side there, and I go to get an interview done, did the interview for about half an hour, went back to the room, changed. The gentleman who was organized everything picked me up, and we go to the place where the town hall meeting was going to be held. And it was a very beautiful place, really nicely done, with a nice stage, a large room for 300 people, but 120-130 were there, which is what I expected. Again, beautiful energy, really nice. Conversation was about the role of diaspora the role of diaspora in the future development of Bosnia and Herzegovina. About 30, 45, 5 minutes presentation and then questions. We stayed too long, apparently, because the person responsible for the building had to kick us out, say, come on, people, we sat until 9, we have to leave. And so, but it was fine. It meant that people wanted to talk. And then, after that, we went to a steakhouse. There's about 20 of us again. It's really nice dinner, beautiful steak. Probably the best steak ever. Who knew? In Germany. Went to the hotel. In the morning, we started at 8:15. This gentleman came to pick me up, and we drove. And his friend, who is a member of the organizing committee, got into the car. 11, we were in Frankfurt. when the hotel changed. We had at 3 o'clock was this an event, beautiful venue. It might be a library or something related, cultural center. This was 3 p.m., nicely organized. This was the last one that was added on, so it wasn't really prepared. So maybe 70 or so people for that, for 3 p.m., for Saturday, 3 p.m., beautiful crowd. This was interesting. Because they did not know, and they came not even knowing what was expected. It was a little bit cool. They were a little bit cool initially, and I was trying to find the way to get them engaged. And it happened somewhere around 15, 20 minutes into it. Then they became engaged. And we stayed until 6 something. They asked, it was more 2.5 hours questions. And in the end, just ran out of time. And it was really beautiful. And I loved their comments. It was very meaningful comments. That was the only place from which we didn't have the live Facebook Live. But I'm sorry now that we didn't, because it was really unusual questions that I don't hear often, about concrete actions, what can be done, and how the diaspora can be engaged, and how about those who don't have a citizenship, Bosnian citizenship, but are from Bosnia-Herzegovina, how can they contribute? That was the question, or how they can contribute. So, really well done. And in the end, I loved one comment. The person said, "This is beautiful. I love what we talked about today. I just loved it. The most of all," he said, "I loved the fact that we did not need a well-known singer to attract the crowd for us to talk about important issues like politics." And at that point, I decided that that's always going to be our case, that we will not accept when somebody organizes an event but brings a singer just to bring the people there, and then we talk, because they are not mentally there. They are not there for us. Even though that is the way for Bosnians and Herzegovinians to organize something, they bring a singer or known person or sports athlete or whatever, people will come for that person, and then, by the way, there's also this. And I was so glad that that was recognized, and I said that we will never do that. So you want to come for us to talk about Bosnia, the way we can change the country of Bosnia-Herzegovina. And so in the end, it lasted all the way through 7, 6 something. Next morning, I went to the airport, came back to the U.S.
Can you elaborate a little more on some of the conversations that you did have in terms, be it in Frankfurt or the other cities? I mean, you said they were all engaging, but what are the types of questions that you were getting across Germany?
The biggest the biggest thing for them was the fact that Bosnia and Herzegovina does not recognize its diaspora, not in any meaningful way. There is no representation of diaspora in the parliament. There is no ministry for diaspora or secretary of diaspora. They feel rejected. They feel alone. But at the same time, they recognize the fact that 22-23% of all the proceeds in the country come from diaspora through the help they provide to their family members, friends. So they almost feel like Washington, D.C. people. Taxation without representation, because that's a tax of some sort. Oh, we cannot take care of your family. You have to. It's like a tax you give to the state so that they can provide the help to their people. A lot of questions were regarding that. Questions also about dual citizenships, because Germany does not recognize dual citizenship. They require our people, Bosnian-Herzegovinians, to reject, to renounce their citizenship in Bosnia-Herzegovina and become German citizens only. That also means that the Bosnian-Herzegovinian government never had meaningful conversation with their German counterparts to establish a bilateral relations where they would allow that to happen. A similar thing happened with the U.S. The U.S. initially didn't allow that as well, but after the bilateral relations were established, now the U.S. allows dual citizenship with the countries with which they have those bilateral relations. Which simply indicated there was another indicator that the country doesn't care, there's no functioning country, there's no foreign policy. And people were unhappy with that. Bosnia-Herzegovina is losing people, one, through the natural processes. There are more deaths than births in the country. Plus people are leaving. Plus those who used to be their citizens are leaving the citizenship. So the country is in decay and nobody cares. So the people had questions. Can you help us still be able to vote and keep the citizenship? They wanted to know how they can help, even if they don't have Bosnian citizenship, how to engage in the politics in the country that they are in, Germany in this particular case. They were interested in the judicial system and the level of corruption. They want to invest in Bosnia, but they cannot because the money is not safe. Talked about the young people and preserving the sense of identity, how hard it is, where you get assimilated in another culture. Do you remember the place where you came from? Some kids are born in Germany. Still, should they know, and how much should they know about Bosnia? Should they feel any allegiance? And of course, the answer is yes, they would like to, but the country is doing nothing to help out with the language, history lessons, culture lessons. I mean, why wouldn't the country offer online classes on the language, the history, the culture, just to be involved, informed, and it's fine. You don't have to consider it homeland. You are born in Germany, that's your homeland, it's fine, but doesn't mean you cannot help or participate or find meaning in helping the country of your ancestors. Anyway, a lot of questions of different kind.
And it sounds like, despite the barriers, they want to be involved, but have questions. How can they? What were some of your answers to these questions about what can be done?
Right. There was also that question of despair. Nothing can be done, right? And my whole point was they have to take, just like always, they have to take responsibility by voting, those who can. And they said it's hard. It is hard because it's a paper, it's absentee ballot. And there's a lot of corruption. The votes are stolen. But I said, okay. But if you all guys rent, whoever is here, this was in Frankfurt, there are about 70 people. There are two buses. Why cannot you rent two buses and go there the day before of election? Nobody can prevent you and vote. Nobody's preventing you. And those who don't have the passport, you have friends and family who can vote. Get engaged. Don't have to vote for the platform. Vote for anybody. Just vote. But you, your own head, consciousness, don't let anybody tell you what or how to vote. And the question also was, well, how can you deal with crooks? How would you fix this? What are the concrete measures? So I would talk about our economic plans for reduced taxation and lessen the burden on the economy, and talk about judicial reform of the judicial system, education system, healthcare system. But I said, what would you, specifically, how would you change it? Well, I said, it's impossible for me to come in and say exactly what we would do, because I know what I want to do with the educational system. I don't like the Bologna system in the higher education. I want to go back to where we used to be, four-year college, and then there's a master's, and then there's a PhD. I do want to take politics, the nepotism out, or the where party members can get only party members can get positions, where the party membership is more important than your specialty and your expertise in allocating professorial or other, any other position in the colleges. The politics, that bad politics has to get out. I would like to have the investment to build a top 10 university in Europe, exactly in Bosnia. I would like us to establish a national test exam which would separate those who buy diplomas or don't learn much from those who learn a lot, where the quality will come on top. We can talk about any of those issues forever, but that doesn't matter. What's the most important thing is that you take your responsibility and vote for the people who will actually take care of the government of the country, not themselves, enrich themselves. We are right now voting for people who just use us to enrich themselves. We need to change that. Unless we have the right people in the parliament, nothing will happen. Forget about the reform of the education. Forget the reform of the judicial system. It's not going to happen. First and foremost, take responsibility, vote. Vote for the right people who you can trust. They will do the right thing. Be a free person. So and the interesting thing is people want to have concrete action. And I'm telling you, there is no concrete action if the person is a bad person. Will not do the right thing no matter what. We can give them 50 best ideas in the world and they will do none of them. So what's the point? The first thing, change them. Then let's go and talk about the best way to get the economy started. But it's not going to get started until their money is protected. The money is not protected in corrupt systems. We are a corrupt system. We have the prime minister now who was accused and sentenced for his illegal activities. He was the head of the committee that appoints judges and prosecutors. And now he's the prime minister of the country. Are you serious? So how can we talk about solutions with the wrong people? We can't.
Be it Germany or the other countries that you travel, do you continue to learn things that you didn't know by engaging the diaspora in other countries and what their concerns and things are?
Well, I'm learning that there are people who really care, because if you don't travel, you think that none of them care. And the diaspora is pretty divided, at least in the U.S., pretty divided. I mean, don't get along too well. There are always pockets and groups. But you learn that there are people who are serious, who are responsible, who do want to be part of the change. People who are responsible in the German society too, and active. And then you realize what I had always known because of my activity, but you confirm it, that there is 10% of the people who will be responsible and do the right thing, and the rest of them will just go for a ride if it's beneficial for them. And if you get disappointed, then you're in the wrong business. You have to know there will be no more than 1 in 10 of any system who wants to put in time and effort to make the system work, even though the immediate benefit is not clear. But what is clear to them is that they cannot be happy in an unhappy, unjust system, dysfunctional system. Therefore, you have to give your time to the community to be able then to benefit from the successes of that community. That's going to be 1 in 10, not more. Find that 1 person in 10 and work with that person.
And it has to be, I always use words you may not use, but encouraging to, even if it is only 10%, it's got to reinforce the value of reaching out more to people to let them know that they are important.
True, and they said that often, that I was the only or one of the very few politicians who have ever come to their places, to talk with them. Now, I know that some will come right before the election. I know that some will come when they need something, primarily money. But they never come to develop relationship between diaspora and the country. They never come because they don't want them. They cannot control, those politicians who are in power cannot control people who live in diaspora. And therefore they don't pay attention to them. They don't want them. They don't want them to think with their own head and vote with their own consciousness. They don't want them. They just want their money. That's it. And I think it's gratifying to see people who are grateful that you remember them and decided to come. And in all three places, the message was loud and clear, come back again soon. That was great. And so I know that Stuttgart and Munich are preparing perhaps March or so visit, and there may be another city. So I might combine that with a visit to another country. We'll see. But I know that Germany is just started in earnest.
So obviously, I would think a message you can take back to Bosnia and Herzegovina when you go around the country there, the importance of people within the country to embrace the diaspora for this to right. work.
That is true. And this encourages one to talk back home mm-hmm. about the diaspora more. Because back home, people say usually, don't talk about diaspora, don't talk about diaspora. They don't care, they will not vote. And it's not true. So we have to be that medium, the conduit between the two, the conduit between the two, to talk. Because the homeland and diaspora are part of the same body and they need each other. And that is really the extent of our message, and try to figure out how they can support each other for the benefit of us all. Yeah.